Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/diagram now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more features like advanced shapes, dependency mapping, and two-way Jira syncing. Get started today at Miro.com/diagram. Now.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
We don't show prep, so he had no idea.
I just barely make it in.
You know, I'm sure you can tell, but we don't show prep.
I mean, let's put the cards down on the table here.
The Hurricanes, yeah, you know the name already, it's Mercy, ha ha, it's a Six Rick Kane show, can't forget the name though, got Jazz, Blue, Vision, DJ, break the game code, ain't no changing up, ain't no breaking up, real poor alive from the Hard Rock Stadium, ball 14 for the orange and green, we see the Six Rick champs, it's more than a dream, this is life on the field, beyond 100 yards, a hurricane that's never still, put a damage to your squad. The Six Rick Kane Show. The Six Rick Kane Show. The Six Rings Kane Show. You know.
What's wrong with us? Seriously.
What's wrong with us? We're Miami Hurricanes fans.
Welcome to the Six Rings Kane Show, a show dedicated to Miami Hurricane sports, featuring the legendary Larry Bluestein, Jazz Santana, Vish, and Danny Gillette. Let's go, Canes.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back. Good evening, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Good evening, Jazz.
Good.
Well, I mean, someone said good evening back. Thanks.
Appreciate good it. Evening.
Man, what's going on, guys? How was your weekend? How'd you guys spend Cinco de Mayo? We celebrated more than the Mexicans do, so you know.
I don't think they even recognize.
Yeah, Cinco. I don't know.
Just another May 5th to them.
That ain't that the truth, right? How'd you guys spend Star Wars Day? Right, May the 4th. You got Cinco de Mayo.
Watching the F1 race, that was
well, great. Well. I weekend prepped as well as I show prepped. So I like told my nephews I'd take them to a soccer game, which was Saturday night at 7:30 in Jerome Tennis.
Oh boy!
Forgot that I had signed up for, which ended up running a half marathon Sunday morning. Which get in the crowd at 6:30 in the morning, start at 7 sharp. Wow. They live out in the suburbs, my brother does, so I had to drive them. I got home at like 1 a.m., went to sleep, woke up at 5, headed out there and ran a half marathon. I'm still in physical pain. It was raining and 50 degrees here. Yes, sir. It's up to 70s again now. I don't know what that was. Oh, DJ, you probably experienced the same thing. It got really cold for like 2 days. So I sat outside in the rain and watched the soccer game for like 3 hours.
It's going to drop down again.
Yeah, it's going to drop down in the 80s.
That was my race prep, was sitting outside in the rain Saturday night, getting home really late, and then waking up like 4 hours later and running this thing in the rain again. So,
well, I'll tell you.
You finished, right?
Yeah, I did finish. I did finish. And shout out to Coach Meyer. I was wearing her shorts. I had a good 45 minutes to an hour left on the thing.
Nice. Okay.
So I did not almost get DQ'd.
Nice. Sweet.
Run for those who can't, Vish. Run for those who can't.
Shout out to Coach Meyer. I wore her the shorts she gave me in there, which
that's cool.
Not ideal for running. A little heavy, especially when they're waterlogged. But got through it anyway.
You got through it, man. You got through it. You ran that one for Coach Meyer.
And maybe I'll be able to walk again at some point this week. I am limping around. I look injured. I am injured. It's bad.
What's up, Giuliano? What's up, buddy? By the way, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But probably the best race so far. This year in F1 was this weekend in Miami. I got, at least in my opinion, I think it was one of the better races. And it's not only because Max lost.
If Magnussen did, we'll talk about this tomorrow, but it would have been another, oh, Max coasted to an easy win.
Hey, man, Lando got him by 7.6 seconds. That's pretty impressive. So,
you lost, Max.
Couldn't close the gap. I lost. Oh, did you lose? Oh, yeah, you lost.
Well, Max Verstappen lost.
He definitely lost.
And the Canes baseball won a series. So we'll talk about that.
Oh, my gosh.
Squeaked one out over BYU.
Yeah, fascinating stuff there for Canes baseball. But, yeah, so cool. By the way, I made the best. DJ, I don't know if you saw it on Instagram, but the best tacos birria last night. Holy guacamole. Pun intended there. I made some kick-ass tacos birria. Oh, man, it was amazing, amazing. So,
leftovers?
Yeah, I'm eating them tonight. It was so awesome. It was awesome. So, and I'm getting ready, man. I got a big birthday coming up. You know, I'm fortunate enough to share my birthday this year on Mother's Day, right? It falls every 4 or 5 years. I get to celebrate my birthday on Mother's Day. So this Sunday.
Wow, happy birthday.
Yeah, this Sunday is Mother's Day and it's my birthday, but I'm excited to be able to celebrate both at my mama's house. We're going to be doing it at my mama's house. So, yeah, pretty excited about
That's good stuff, yeah.
The weather's supposed to be real nice this weekend too, so we'll see. We're
93
praying
on Sunday. So
I'll take it, man. And anything to get me in that pool. Anything to get me in that pool. 93 sounds good to me. So I mean,
look at Fish. Yeah, you guys won't see that until like for a day.
Oh, no, we did see it. It was like that last week. And then the temperature dropped like 40 degrees. Right? I have to go right outside now. This is great.
Yep. Carnitas tacos are good stuff too. Did you guys make any Mexican food?
No, I didn't.
I made chili last week. So that
kind of counts.
I came home and slept and then woke up when the race was almost over. Like, hey, why isn't Max winning?
I didn't watch it. It was more like, what the hell is Lando doing winning?
I didn't even notice who it was. I was just like, that does not say Verstappen.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Anyway, yeah. So,
drop a comment. Drop a comment, fan, whoever's watching, to see what you guys made on Cinco de Mayo. By Tacos Birria, we're the bee's knees.
Carnitas tacos. I like this.
I mean, that's unlike the epicenter of Mexican food.
Yeah, like exactly. Exactly. You can't go wrong there in his neck of the woods.
Well, that's under the radar. People, for whatever reason, that aren't obviously from South Florida think there's good Mexican food in Miami. There absolutely is not.
You
can basically get every other kind of food there except that.
There's some good Mexican food. There's some good little spots.
It's nothing compared
to San Diego, but they've got some good little. And you know what? There's
a lot of good Cuban places.
You get Cuban pretty much stuff from any country in South America, but the Mexican is not up to standard.
You gotta go to the places that you know hole in the walls. Like, well, Taqueria is pretty good. The one down in 8th Street. But anyways,
that's compared to the local big places. If you took that and tried to open it in Max's neck of the woods, they would close it immediately.
Dacaria might have some, might
no,
be all right.
No, Dacaria, I'm not having that.
It's good. It's good.
Well, it's kind of interesting that the title of this episode is that the Miami Hurricanes beef up in the transfer portal.
Well, yeah, right.
Connection there.
I like that. I like that.
That was accidental, but we'll roll with it.
But we'll take it. We'll take it. Speaking of beefing up that line, the defensive line, we talked about it. They needed maybe another defensive line or two. They seem to have gotten potentially one of the best ones, the top one or two defensive tackle prospects in the transfer portal now. So really excited about Simeon Barrow coming in from Michigan State and committed to the Miami Hurricanes. I think it's a position where, look, with the departure of Jared Harrison Hunt, Leonard Taylor last year, you got some guys there. And, you know, obviously you brought in C.J. Clark, but you've got some of the returning guys like Josh Horton and Ahmad Moten. And then you've got the recruits, Artavius Jones and Justin Scott and Marley Cook, another transfer portal guy. So it's not a bad room, but now you add another big-time stud in Simeon Barrow.
Proven stud.
Proven. That's the big thing, right? Pretty excited about bringing him in and coming in and getting ready to, as you mentioned, Vish, on the on Twitter, beefing up that defensive line. So really excited about him. Blue, your experience in being able to watch Simeon Barrow play a little bit at Michigan State and even before that, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, difference maker, tough to block one-on-one, that's for sure. That guy will shed you real quick. I mean, he's strong, got an attitude on that field. He just plays. I mean, I'll tell you what, great hands. He can control the offensive line. It's not easy. It's not easy to go. You know, people want to go right at him, but he'll play that off and get you. His best thing to do is run away from him, like they used to do with Lawrence Taylor. And so that way, if he has to pursue, he's got to cut through a lot of real estate to get to you. But if you run right at him, you're giving him more of an opportunity. And he's a showstopper. He's a guy that's going to be right in that rotation day one. You're not going to be able to keep him out because he can make plays, and that's what Miami's looking for. And in Miami once again beat a star quality kid from a lot of really good teams that wanted him. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm proud. I'm I was looking and tell you what. DJ at 9-10 win seasons looking pretty damn good right now.
I'll still take the under just because I'm kind of a pessimist.
You go 7-5 and they'll kick your ass off this show.
You bet damn right. You're damn right.
The first time probably won't be the last time either, but I'm still here, baby. No, but on the Barrow front, I mean, I saw him get to play at Michigan State a little bit last year. And, you know, he's not your typical space-filling defensive lineman, and that's all he can do. He can also go into the backfield and pressure the quarterback. He led the Spartans with 22 pressures last season. And, you know, he's a difference maker, like Blue said. He's extremely athletic. He can get to the quarterback. He can shed his blocks quickly. So I think this was a really strong get. And Big Ten football is certainly nothing to scoff at either. So it was a good get by the Hurricanes at a position of need, and they filled it quickly.
It was a struggling Michigan State team. I know they had some issues, particularly on that offensive side, losing guys.
Yeah, the offense was terrible.
You know, I mean, they lost, right? I hate to say it, but they lost Keon Coleman, guys like that, right? They lost some big-time players on that side. And, you know, the whole debacle with their head coach as well. Just a lot of crap happening there, but that was a talented football program. If you saw what they did a couple years ago, they brought in a really great recruiting class, and obviously the transfer portal was huge there in Michigan State. When everything else kind of falls apart around you and you lose some guys as well, and you don't recuperate those guys, you know, this is what's going to happen, right? You get some of the better players like him, like, the kid Derek Harmon. And some of the other guys that are leaving that program now look for another place to play. And Simeon Barrow is one of those guys. Exactly. That guy. Hey, yeah, exactly. He developed at Michigan State. that Point exactly, right? You know, it's important to get some of those big time prospects like that. Now you bring in a guy like Barrow. You know, now the problem is he's gonna have to live up to that name here at Miami, right? Because that last name is synonymous with excellence at the University of Miami. So you're gonna have to get it together. Norman, hey, what's up, Norman? Fujioka here. We were going after both Harmon and Barrow. Barrow is the more important get. Yeah, I know Harmon decided not to visit or whatnot, but shout out to Norman. Thanks for a $15 dono, man. Yes, Barrow, it was the guy that I think Coach Cristobal, Coach Joe, Jason Taylor, those guys really liked on that line. And I think he's going to provide a lot of depth. He's going to provide, you know, a little more space eating on that defensive tackle line. He's going to be able to get to the quarterback a little bit, as DJ mentioned also. So he might not be your 350 pounder, but he's, you know, he's what, 6'3", 310, something around 305, somewhere along that line. So he's got the strength. He's still got the size at 6'3". And if he can go get the quarterback a little bit, I think that's great also, because you do have CJ Clark on the other side of him, who is about 320, right? He's a big dude. So you've got some space eaters there. You've got the guys behind them, like Ahmad Moten is definitely a space eater. Josh Horton's over 300 pounds. He's 6'5". So, you know, it's exciting times for that defensive line. I think Coach Joe, Jason Taylor, and the rest of the guys there that are coaching that line are going to be able to eat a little bit this year. Gus, what's up, GT? Fresh Mac King. So we'll get to some of the other guys, but before we get to some of the other guys, Miami's now at a point where, you know, they're at about, I mean, just looking at after the college football, after the spring games and all that, there's a lot of hype, you know, behind them now. We're talking about, you know, having a top 10 running back, having a top 10 quarterback, having a top 10, potentially a top 10 wide receiver. And not only Xavier Restrepo, but now you got a kid like Sam Brown, you know, also, and the rest of that wide receiver room. And then you've got all the, you know, you've got a top 10 or even a top 5 offensive lineman in Jaden Rivers, who's starting to garner a lot of attention at that offensive line position, at that tackle position. It seems like a lot of coaches and teams are really starting to give him the recognition that's deserved. He's a hell of a lineman. So, and then you bring in some of the other guys that we've got there as well. I know Miami's still trying to go after a couple of other guys. What are we, you know, seeing blue? Look, we've got, I know Isaiah Pons was a big name that Miami was looking after from JMU, ended up committing to Indiana. I know that his former coach at JMU was over at Indiana, so that was a big deal. But there was some other stuff behind the scenes that apparently had him going over to Indiana instead of Miami. But I know he was a Miami lean. Whatever the case was, he ended up going somewhere else. You know, we keep hearing the name Mac King in the chat. King Mac, as a potential guy to come in and play. Can you tell me a little bit about King Mac, Blue? For some of the guys that don't know about him. Yeah.
Yeah. Penn State wanted him really, really bad. St. Thomas Aquinas kid. Yeah, he was.
Any relation to Brian Mac?
No relation. But I'll tell you what, though. This is a. Is a big time player. When he left here, everybody kind of knew Penn State, you know, coveted him from the beginning, and he was fast, powerful. He could cover. He'll knock you out. He's a major kid. That's why Alabama is looking at him, and Florida State and a couple of other programs. But you know what? Opportunity to stay home, opportunity to fill in a position of need in Miami. You're still looking for that, you know, some catalyst in the secondary. Yeah, I just
where was
I heard the name and I like
year?
It.
Where was he at this past year?
Penn State.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we know that that's still a position that, you know, obviously we've got Diony Hill that committed last week. We've got, you know, some good names there, and Daryl Porter and Damari Brown. But, Rich, I kind of want to get your take on the secondary. You know, I've been hearing a little bit also from what I've been reading that, I mean, a lot of these critics and a lot of these coaches you know, and analysts and this, that, and the other, and guys that kind of look at college football are really starting to like this program, like this team. They're really excited about what Mario's done in the portal. And not because Mario did, I mean, he legitimately got some really, really, really big time talent in this portal, right? As we mentioned in the last week's episode, he's all in, right? This is a team that he needs to take to the playoffs at this point. This is where we are with the level of talent that he's put together on this program. But they kept saying the weak spot, you know, if there's a weakness on this team right now, it's a secondary. If you bring in a guy like King Mack, you know, now you've got Diana Hill and King Mack that can play inside and outside. All right, you've got two of them that can play, you know, different positions. But the word was Mish Powell was coming down and playing the nickel a lot, right? And now this gives Mish Powell an opportunity to go back to safety, kind of focus on that position, right? Obviously, Savion Riley entering the portal and leaving now also kind of gives him an opportunity to go back there and really kind of hone in on that safety position. This would be a huge pickup to get a guy like King Mack. But I think that more importantly, it's an opportunity for us to build more depth at that defensive back position. It's a position that's potentially a weakness. This could definitely help, yeah.
Yeah, and they know it's a weakness. You can see that's who they're targeting, the secondary, to build in more depth. It is the weakness on the team right now. Yeah, they're gonna keep it tight until they build that depth in. And you mentioned versatility, and that's because frankly they're gonna piece it together. This is the worst spot on the roster by a fair margin at this point. And so I don't even know if they get King Mack, if they're done, they might go for one more.
Yeah.
That they need that. Like they're pretty. I mean, I think Barrow plugged. You know, we were all kind of like, oh wow, Jared Harrison Hunt left, upgraded, right? And so this is an upgraded version of that. So he'll play inside. He'll eat up more space. So we kind of plugged that gap. The secondary, like you mentioned Riley, we had him. We thought, okay, there's a step in the right direction. He's gone. You know, after spring ball. So that was a hole they tried to address before spring ball. It didn't work. And it is a little bit in the danger zone now. And you mentioned there that this is a team, it's kind of under the radar despite landing a lot of top players in the portal, bringing a top five recruiting class, because look, 20 years of of Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown, you're not very comfortable running up to it and swinging at it, right? So, I mean, if this was a team that had not repeatedly shot itself in the foot as a program over the last 20 years, I think there'd be a lot more hype around it. Seems like every time people start to get excited, something catastrophic like not kneeling the ball happens. And, you know, that's an absurd example of something, but it's always something tends to go wrong with this program. And it's just, so I think that's some of the skepticism. But the football reason to be skeptical is the secondary. I mean, you could see them struggling against good passing attacks right now and not really having the personnel to defend. And it's really going to put a lot on Ruben Bain and Akeem Mesidor to basically pressure the hell out of the quarterback to not allow them to get ripped apart in the secondary, because this is definitely the weakest unit on the team.
You know, all that being said, and I know some guys, by the way, shout out to Tap. Max Autism Awareness for Life is in the chat. What's going on, man? He may not be a day one guy. I think that, look, either way, bring him in and develop him and still go after, like you said, Vich, right? They might not be done. They might still need to go after that guy that's going to come in and be a day one contributor right away.
Yeah, so, and to Tap's point, yeah. Well, but, I mean, who?
I mean, it's like they
started with.
There may be some guys out there. I just don't.
Yeah,
I don't,
it's like, I don't it's know. Like they're starting with the players they're looking at now, right? They swung and missed at Xavion Riley.
And yes, we need.
Well, they
win
swung
now,
and but they swung and hit, but then it was an out, basically with Xavion Riley. So, pretty much. So yeah, to like it's. Of course, they would love to have like a lock-on All-American type that they could just plug into the lineup. That does not appear to be available.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you do need depth pieces because injuries can happen very quickly. And I mean, I think a lot of times fans of, you know, every program get caught up in, oh, we need this guy, we need this five-star recruit, or else we're not going to get him. You also need, you need to build like a house, right? And you have the, you know, the main pieces, but you also need the foundation of the house itself. And a lot of times those depth pieces can provide that, and you do need them in case of an emergency or due to injury.
Yeah, I'm okay with bringing a guy like that in if there's room, right? If you're talking about, well, there's only two spots left and you got to go get either the guy that you're going to develop,
right,
or the guy that you're going to kind of plug and play. Is there a guy out there that's plug and play ready right now that, you know, you say, you know, undoubtedly you say he's going to beat out Damari, or he's going to beat out, you know, Daryl Porter, or, you know, Mish Powell, or Jaden Harris, whoever you have out there. I think that you kind of got that guy that's going to be able to get significant playing time in Dyami Hill. I think that he's someone that's going to get significant snaps, a significant amount of snaps. You're probably going to bring in another guy. I know that, you know, there's other positions as well, like Tyler Barron, the kid from Tennessee, that Miami is, you know, is really high on, and he's high on them as well. And I would kind of agree with what Max said in the chat about that we have depth. We do have some guys there, right? We've got the Robert Stafford, yeah, but we've got some of these guys that we can develop.
But where's the star power coming from? It's fine to say, yeah,
that, take well, that's my thing. Yeah, what's who's available? The star? Who's the star in spring? You know, that we're going to be able to pull. Blue, do you know of any guys that maybe are in the portal now, or that could potentially all of a sudden the name pop up that could potentially have that star power at cornerback or at defensive back? I mean, I'm not sure if there's too many there.
Well, here's the thing, too. The front seven got a whole lot better, so that's going to take a lot of stress off the secondary. I mean, you won't have to be, you know, I mean, you're going to have to still be good, but I think from the front seven and having what you have up front and then the linebacker play, which is vastly improved, I think that gives a lot of those players that are coming in a chance to get chemistry together and kind of mesh. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Florida comes out, they're still kind of unsure about throwing the ball around, you know, I mean, so that may give them a little bit of a test right off the bat. But, you know, I don't disagree that they shouldn't bring anybody in, but right now, I mean, if you don't, then I wouldn't just reach for just another body.
Right.
Because you have plenty of other bodies on the team right now.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do now within the next, you know, the next couple of weeks or so, if they bring in another guy. Danny Berry, Marine E, what's going on, fellas? To see who they bring in. I know there's a couple of other guys out there that Miami's still looking at. You know, as I mentioned before, Tyler Barron and some others. So we'll kind of keep an eye out on that to see what happens. What does the tap say here? Zaquan is going to be a star. We need to develop Robert Stafford and Dylan Day. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I know there's guys there that we could develop. I mean, Dylan Day is a freshman, true freshman. Robert Stafford is a second year guy. You did lose Freeney in the transfer portal. And you lost Devontae in the transfer portal as well, who could have been a serviceable backup. I think at this point, but he wanted to be a starter, so he's going to go suck at FSU. Good for him. The truth is that I think that you still need to build some more depth and develop that depth and bring in a guy that can maybe, yeah, get a little more playing time right now. So that's going to be interesting to see. Tyler Barron is a big name, though. I keep going back to him because he's a guy that's visited Miami. He's a guy that's, you know, he's got potential to be a really good football player. I like him. You bring him into this group of defensive ends, of edge guys, of rushers, and you're talking about, I mean, you already have one of the top five defensive end rooms in the country. You bring in another guy like Tyler Barron, now you're talking about solidifying that defensive end room as being, you know, potentially the best in the country. I think he can be a really good player. I know he's still got some developing as well, but I still think that he's a damn good kid that can get a lot of snaps here at Miami. Also, you lost some guys there on that side of the ball, at that position. Also, why not bring in another guy? So those are just some of the guys. By the way, I wanted to bring something up, which is totally has nothing to do with this, which I started laughing about, though. But we have the first bowl game that's going to be sponsored by an alcoholic beverage here soon. And I'm really excited about it because it is Snoop Dogg. It's the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl brought to you by Gin and Juice.
Oh, wow.
I mean, does it get any better than that?
Well, it could be if you had Hennessy Bowl. So
I'm I got to go with the Gin and Juice Bowl by the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl brought to you by Gin and Juice.
It's awesome.
Come on. Listen, it's awesome. If the players don't walk out to that song, I mean, what are we doing, right? What are we doing? You got to come out to Gin and Juice.
I mean, the players. It's a little bit before their time,
smoking
slightly.
Down the street.
No, I'm saying people of our age.
I mean, Snoop Dogg is timeless, bro.
That song was popular when we were kids, Jazz.
I know. Listen, I had the CD Doug style.
So right. would you walk out to? I mean, what would be the? I don't even know what the comparison would be. Like, you know what the hell was popular in the '60s? Like, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Jumping Jack Flash or something? No.
Exactly. If it was the Jumping Jack Flash Bowl, would you walk? You wouldn't be like, I'm not walking out to that crap.
Oh man, but you know what? The truth is, like DJ said, it's a classic. It's a timeless.
Snoop Dogg is timeless.
It's timeless. And you know, the players can relate to it, right? It's hip hop music. They can relate to that kind of music, you know. They can't relate to Jumpin' Jack Flip Flop or whatever the hell you said. You know, they can't relate
to
that.
No, we can't because it was about the same time before our time as this kids, was to them.
The kids can still relate to sipping on gin and juice.
There's no way that's still in.
We need to get a player in here. We need to get a player on the show and ask him if he.
If he would rock with the gin and juice bowl,
hell yeah. I guarantee I'm going to put my money on that.
I'd bet my life savings on it, yeah.
He'll know what it is. The gin and juice bowl? Come on, man. Come on. Bro, is that for real? Listen, if
I just go there to get the goodie bag.
That's how I'm telling you, right? That would be fantastic, man. Are you kidding me?
I think you'd be surprised.
Oh man, let me see what Blue's favorite recruit Elijah.
Max is not having our nonsense. He wants to talk football.
Yeah, I know, right? McContos is in the portal. Who is that, Blue? Elijah McContos.
Oh, McContos, who used to be here at Miami Edison.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Long kid. Really long kid.
What position does he play?
He played corner safety, but he's a long, long kid. Okay. He was going to go, I think he went to Illinois. I believe. I know he's maybe Flo could tell you. I know that he.
But
he's a big time kid. And being from down here and play for Luther Campbell and be good. His length was a thing that everybody liked, you know, about him. So,
He went to Illinois. He's in the portal now. Max says so.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of kids that, you know, they sent in their paperwork on Wednesday. And sometimes it takes a couple days for everything to kind of go through. So they can't really talk about it. They can't really announce it officially until it does and it gets approved, yada, yada, yada. So
they're delivering it by Pony Express. So.
Yeah, no kidding. They're delivering it by Raven at this point. It's, you know, sometimes they don't announce until later. So you might hear some new names. You're probably still going to hear some names from Miami leaving also, maybe one or two.
It has to because you still got too many.
They're at 84 right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, they are 84?
Yeah, they're at 84, but I still expect a couple more to leave because you still need to fill those last two or three spots that you have available. So I think that you're gonna see that within the next week or so. So we'll probably have some more stuff to talk about. Look, Jamie French, from what I saw, announced that he has a top 10. Miami's in the top 10 or something along those lines. But I know that we're one of the teams. Five-star wide receiver was committed to Alabama. Another big-time prospect.
Yeah, big-time kid.
Yeah. So
producer, you know, it's one of those kids that you talk about, and then you go see him play, and he produces. It's not like,
right.
You know, oh, he was good when I saw him before. No, he had a great state championship game against Columbus, and. Every time I've seen him, saw him last summer a bunch. He was at a couple 7-on-7 events. He was up at Tallahassee, and he was at University of Florida when I saw his team. They actually, his team won. And their quarterback's pretty good, too. He's going to FSU.
Gotcha.
They got a bunch of dudes.
Let's see what they said. What Flo says. Yeah, we're under like at 83, 84, but there's a few that are graduating and quitting football, so they probably won't announce anything. Good point. Yeah. If they're going to quit football or something like
Redding
that.
Redding is graduating, right?
Redding's graduating. I don't know, you know, if he's going to get much playing time. He may be one of those casualties. Definitely Nelson and Zion. Wow. Nelson and Zion. Not Zion Nelson. Nelson and Zion. Fresh. That was cool.
They're both graduating?
I like it. By the way, it's the same person, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Zion Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah. Nelson and Zion. Is that the reggaeton group that he's talking about?
Yeah.
You know, Nelson and Zion. Zion Nelson is another guy. Yeah, his injuries, I think, at this point, he's not going to get any time either. So that makes that
was went guys from a first round draft pick to
unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, I think first of all, he was overhyped.
Brad Kaya. Oh, he'll be the second quarterback taken next year.
Yeah. Well, we all had.
Hey, but we got to. Have to say that. The all-time leading rusher in Miami Hurricane football history has retired from football. Congratulations to
Duke Johnson.
One of the best guys in Duke Johnson. And
great guy, great kid, great football
player. Had an average career in the NFL, but, you know, he played. And, oh, yeah, great guy. And
I think he had an underrated college football career, I think, just because he didn't play on the greatest teams, right? He was phenomenal, right, though, as a running back.
But very good to player. Leave as an all-time leading rusher in Miami history is still pretty good.
I would say so. That's another great great stat that I think the most rushing touchdowns by school in the NFL right now, the leader is Miami as well. They're like at 600 touchdowns or something like that.
It's not close.
Yeah, it's not even close. Alabama's number two, and they're up by like 300.
Yeah, no, it's something doubled great. Them up basically. Yeah.
Yeah, it went over 25 years or what?
Yeah, something like that. I saw it here.
I think it's even before that because, you know, like Chuck Foreman and stuff were in there.
Oh, wow.
So
Otis Anderson, Chuck Foreman, all those.
Yeah, there's some long history before the university was even good. They were putting people in the pro. So
they would have 3 and 4 guys and not 13 and 14 guys. Yeah. But, you know, it's just like when I always say that Ted Hendricks, in my estimation, and I still think he's the best Hurricane of all time. Any way you slice it, because you got to remember when he played, the only other guy that went on the NFL was Dunn from Coral Gables, went to the Steelers. Other than that, he was on an island by himself. So when you look at Jerome Brown and those guys, they had 9 and 10 guys around him on that defense. So
actually, it's a little closer than I thought it was. It was by 100 touchdowns. They got him by 104 touchdowns. Miami, 628 touchdowns since 1966.
Okay, that was his junior year. So
there you go. 628, Alabama, 524, Georgia, 467, Oklahoma, 428. And then Florida 414. So still by 104 touchdowns.
I was going to say, didn't go Oklahoma back then because they ran that wishbone that they would have a whole bunch.
Yeah, I thought maybe Nebraska might be in there.
Same thing. Yeah. They ran that.
Yeah, but you're, when you start looking at who they put in the pros, and it starts to dwindle down a
That's
bit.
That's true. Good point. Blue, we got a question here from Max. Your thoughts on Nekai Martinez as a potential slot? Anybody with the last name Martinez is good. Come on,
bring him. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I was pretty good player in high school, and I'd like to see him.
Where is he at now?
He's in the portal.
Is he in the portal, Max? What school did he go to, Blue?
Didn't he go to UCF? Because there's a Nekai Martinez, but I think he plays defensive back.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast.
so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Trying to think, he was at UCF,
and he's in the slot, and he's apparently in the portal. Yeah, from UCF,
came out of Popka.
Started for a few years there, so he started at UCF. He's in the portal now in the Kymart.
He's nice. He was a coveted guy. I don't see UCF having that many guys that he would be forced to go out, but you never know. They're picking up a lot of kids too.
Well, they just had about a slot guy. You just have a slot receiver, right? Obviously. X is out of here after this year. But
I thought he was talking about a corner.
He is a corner.
Oh, slot corner, not a slot receiver.
Yeah, he's a corner.
My bad. That's my mistake.
He's a DB. That's why I was saying. Yeah, that's probably why he went into the portal, because he changed positions. Holy mackerel. Yeah, he was really, really good. He was coveted. He came in the slot corner. He came in with Walker, the defensive tackle out of Osceola, who – that was the first guy that they sold on the fact that they were going to be a power five, whatever it is, power four team. That their recruiting is changed. You know, that's why they have Swint. That's why they got, what's his name from St. Thomas?
Penny Boone actually just committed there now also.
Ja'Kari Brown.
Yeah, Ja'Kari Brown. You've got some good prospects that have.
Well, you have to. I mean, their schedule's stupid. I mean, they got both Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, in addition to Iowa State, Baylor, Kansas, you know, Kansas State, so, and Florida. they play Florida.
Yeah, that's a big time.
They got a schedule.
So. Schedule now. Does he fit here as a slot corner?
I think he would.
Slot corner? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who would you say is the better prospect?
Miami was on him coming out of high school. And then all of a sudden, you know, he was fed the you stay home and play power five football. Who does he remind me of?
Who would you say? Actually, let's throw in another name there. Fresh talks about Brooks, the DB from Texas as well, that apparently is in the portal. Also, you're talking about Deonte Hill, who's already here. And now you
Deonte Hill, you watch his film, man.
Who do you like out of those three? Who do you like out of those three the most?
I like Deonte Hill because I think he's a producer. And he's a guy that comes in and just plug and play type kid, and especially because he knows the system.
Right.
See, Nakai will probably have to – you know, I mean, Nakai's got athletic ability, and I certainly thought Miami would get him initially, but then, you know, they fed him all this BS as, hey, you're 10 minutes from home and people could see you, and, you know, we're going to be playing so-and-so, and we're going to be we're going to almost beat Oklahoma, but get crushed by 40 by Kansas.
Go for it. Yeah, it's impressive what you
see.
Nigel Lee, Traquan, and Tennyson and Penny Boone, as I mentioned earlier, Antoine. That's right, Antoine Vax is over there also now. So, look, the transfer portal's changed everything. We talked about it a little bit, Blue, actually, on your show last week.
Yeah,
on Tuesday. You know, if high school football, high school recruiting is dead, you know? And I said no, right? I kind of said, you know, I don't think it's dead. I just think it's changed. And I think you've got to be able, as a coach, you've got to be able to adapt. As a player, you've got to be able to adapt and understand that you're unfortunately, this is the way it is, right? The first school that you go to may not be the school you're going to be at in 2 or 3 years. But it's an opportunity for you to go in and potentially develop and get some experience and then hit the portal. I mean, that happens more often than not now at this point. So you're talking about, you know, I also mentioned that, you know, the coaches, there's going to be a select few coaches, 10, 15 guys all across the country that are going to be able to withstand this change in the recruiting landscape and be able to attack both the transfer portal and high school recruiting with tenacity, with the same amount of energy as they would for each other, right? And I think, obviously, a guy like Mario can do that, right? We've seen him be able to do it already. But some of the top programs, that's how they're, you know, we're talking about adding more parity to the game. I think that eventually the parity is going to go away again, and you're going to have those top 10 or top 15 programs that are going to continuously be good. You'll throw in a UCF here and there or a Kansas here and there that'll do something crazy a year or two and be pretty good, and then boom, they disappear again because they can't sustain that. Are we? And I want to talk about. I want Vish and DJ's take on this. We'll start with you, Vish. And what I'm trying to say is that I think that I don't think high school football or high school recruiting is dead. I just think it's changed. And as I mentioned, I think that whoever does it the best with and is able to get the guys in the transfer portal is going to be able to stick around. And you're going to get those 10 to 15 coaches that are going to be able to do that for the long haul. What are your thoughts on something like that?
Yeah, I think it's just adapting to the new environment. We've been conditioned to essentially, once the kid signs their letter of intent, they're held hostage. They're going to be at that school for a long time. Transferring means sitting out a year and, you know, limited options. So it wasn't really done frequently. Now, too, you can leave whenever you want and get into another school and go, right? So what has changed is that these coaches now got to realize, hey, I got to, first of all, be honest with the kids because they're used to lying to them to get them to sign, and then they're screwed either way, right? Yeah. I mean, the whole bait and switch isn't going to work because they'll just head into the portal. And also really look at, you know, what is in the best interest of their program, because every school is churning these kids now, right? Like, they're coming in, a lot of them stay for a year, maybe two, and then they leave. Is that actually good for your program or not? Do you start, you know, changing who you target? And the ones that adapt will thrive, and the ones that can't will fail and or go to the NFL, which we've seen some coaches already start to do. But this is not some kind of insurmountable. I know there's a lot of, like, you know, pour one out for the death of college football. This is not.
Yeah.
And it's just adapting to an environment which, frankly, the rest of the business world runs like. You hire someone, they don't like it, they find another job, you deal with it.
That's it.
You don't fold the company up. So, and this is kind of similar to that. So part of it, again, it'll serve the ones that are honest, that don't screw kids over, that don't bait and switch them, that'll come in and say, hey, I'm recruiting you right now. Realistically, you're not going to start for 2 years. And, you know, be honest with them about that in the recruiting process, so that if they get the kid, they know he's in it for the long haul. Because the whole, like, oh yeah, sure, you can start as a true freshman. They tell 25 kids that ain't happening. And so, you know, those are the ones that you're going to see, you know, the whole roster turnover repeatedly, and that's not going to sustain the programs. So I think it's just the ones that adapt well. I think Mario's well suited to do that. He's this generally known as a straight shooter. He doesn't play games, and that'll actually serve you well in this environment, because, you know, when kids show up, they know what they're getting into. Right. Doesn't mean kids won't end up in the portal. We've seen several of ours do it. Cause again, if you're not playing, it doesn't work out. You're going to hit it, but how they recruit and how they target, very different now. Cause the whole goal before was just to get them to sign. Cause once they sign, you own them. Take an act of God to get them out of that letter of intent. Now they'll just go in the portal. We see kids do that. Right. Sign and in the portal. Right. So,
So because of that, you do have to kind of – the goal is not to get them to sign. The goal is to create an environment in your program that matches what you're selling and recruiting. And if you do that, they know what they signed up for. They're much less likely to go into the portal. And, you know, everyone's got to adapt to that. People that are used to, I don't know, just saying for certain things, you know, giving out Dodge Chargers under the table and lying to kids left and right, you know, might retire and then throw shade at everyone afterwards. You know, that could happen. Not naming names or anything.
We would never.
No. I don't, you know, just speculating that maybe someone did that. But for those that are, like, used to being an honest broker, you know, dealing with the parents directly, you know, and being on, like, this is actually going to help them in the long run, because they'll know, hey, this guy is being straight with me. If he says I can play my first year, it's probably because I'm going to have a chance to do that, because right. He would have told me if I wouldn't. And I think that's where I actually think we're in really good shape with that.
I agree. And by the way, Max, that's about the only bright spot right now that I can think of on this.
I was looking, I mean, this will be on Kane's on deck tomorrow. I was looking at that when we rolled the roster out this weekend, like the lineup, and half the team was below the Mendoza line. I'm like, this team sucks, man. Like, really, really sucks.
So bad.
I never thought the Mendoza line would come back into play, man, but we just brought it back.
Oh, yeah, it's back, baby. It's back. Anyways,
it was actually a good week for Canes baseball because we didn't play any conference games and everyone else lost. We're very close to clinching the ACC tournament. So.
We're almost there, baby.
We're almost there. Yeah, we have to do some catastrophic, which we've done. So let's not.
Right, it's not.
But we're looking pretty good. We're looking pretty good for sliding in there as like the 11 or 12 seed.
DJ, do you? I guess the question that I have for you is: do you think high school recruiting is dead?
No, I just think high school recruiting is going to be more selective and you're going to have to rely on your coaching staff a bit more in the sense that you need to be a strong developer. You need to tell kids that you'll be able to, whether their goal is to go into the NFL or whatever, they need to know that they are in a, you know, solid place where they can develop. You know, I think the transfer portal is good for a lot of things. It's good for a lot of quick fixes, but in terms of building a program, you know, high school recruiting still has some merit to it as well. You know, I think as far as, you know, overall, again, it goes back to structure. The structure of the program, you need high school recruits.
Right.
I don't think high school recruiting is dead. I think it's just going to be prioritized a little bit differently. You know, I think you're going to see coaches be a lot more selective with the types of positions they recruit. I think you're going to see a lot of maybe preferred walk-on, you know, type of scholarships or things like that, or something funded through NIL. And I also think you're going to see, you know, a lot more, you know, high schoolers being more selective about their decisions as well. I mean, it used to be you got offered by a school, you accepted the offer and this, that, and the other thing. You know, I think high schoolers are going to have to do their homework a little bit more because there are benefits to the transfer portal, and I don't think that's going away anytime soon. So I guess, long story short, high school recruiting I don't think is dead. It's just going to be more selective and more kind of, you know, specific to what the teams want.
Yeah, I think you might see smaller recruiting classes.
Yeah.
You might see, but like you said, they're going to key in on some of those really, really special dogs, right? They're going to try to go after those guys. And Blue, you know, I never got to hear your thoughts on this. We'll kind of wrap up with this because because we're out of time, really. I kind of want to get your thought. You asked me the same question. I thought that was interesting, you know, to kind of hear your thoughts on how you feel about high school recruiting right now. You know, if not only if it's dead, but, you know, if there's still a way that college football can have parity, or is it more like what I mentioned, right? A couple schools are going to really hone in on it. They're going to perfect the art of being able to do both well, and it's just going to kind of you know, be the same thing as it was 20 years ago when Alabama started kicking ass and doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have some of those coaches that are going to be able to kick, you know, to really do well in this. And it's just going to be a different way of recruiting.
I think what it's going to do is it's going to help a lot of the smaller schools. It's going to be kind of a trickle down, because whereas you used to put 25, 26 freshmen on your roster, not so much anymore. So what's going to happen is your schools like, you know, Jacksonville State and schools like that, you know, are, you know, I'll tell you, Florida A&M is already benefiting, because they've gotten a few kids that probably could have played, you know, not in a major school, but could have probably played, you know, at a smaller Power Five school at the time. But now they're getting trickled down, where a lot of these, you know, like these Max, Sunbelt, are loading up on kids, even NAIA schools, because here's the thing, and they have a good sales pitch, because they can walk in the door and tell, you know, this kid who's, you know, 3-4-star type kid who could easily be going to, you know, to one of the UCF or something like that. And right. What they're doing is they're telling them, listen, you can start out here. Next year, you could be gone. You could be up there. This would be a good reason for you to, you know, get some playing time here. And then, you know, someone's going to see and said, you know, because look at how many guys. There was 4 Ivy League kids that came out and are in Power Four schools, 3 in right. the SEC and 1 ACC team. Yep. They got 2 kids from Yale, 1 kid from Harvard, 1 kid from Brown that all, you know, came over, and all of them had their degrees, obviously. But still, you know, that's what I'm saying. So you get a kid, you know, that goes to St. Thomas University or Kaiser, you know, defending national champions, plays DB for a year. Actually, it happened. They had this kid, Phil Orr, who started for Kaiser last year. Now he's at FAU. So, you know, that's who I think it's going to help. It would be tough to prove that it's killing high school football if you hang, you know, for last week. By the way, I saw the kid Pringle that was up at Armwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real deal.
Yeah, not bad. But the old thing is this time of year, you still have kids running track and you have some kids playing baseball. So a lot of those, like the quarterback from Vero, who's going to Michigan, he's a baseball stud. So he was, you know, I was over there, but he wasn't playing. But I got a chance to see a lot of the kids, you know, Tampa Bay Tech and Tampa Jesuit. And I went over and saw Venice, and I was at Fort Myers and saw Jamie German's kid. Oh, man.
Yeah, I hear he's pretty damn good. Yeah, I hear he's pretty damn good.
Yeah, 9th grade kid.
He's at North Fort Myers, is it? Or Fort Myers?
He's at Fort Myers where his dad played.
Right.
And then I went so I saw a bunch. But the thing I was trying to get to is that everywhere I went, there were like 10, 12, 15 college coaches. Right. Tennessee, Wisconsin, Alabama. So that kind of shows you it's not dead. It may have slowed down. Go to the St. Thomas spring game on the 28th of May when there's 65 to 70 college coaches there.
Right.
Or go up to Palm Beach Gardens on the 20th where there's 12 teams, you know, and playing from 8 in the morning till 10:30 at night. And that's what I'm saying. That's the part of it that you kind of question whether it's dead or not, because they're there watching high school kids. They're not there just, you know, for the hell of it. And that's where you go to those events, and that's where you see a junior or a sophomore stud. You go, oh, wait a minute. You know, I came for this guy, but,
right.
You know, the same thing when Mark Rush back in the day when he played at Stranahan before he came to Miami, they went actually and looked at their offense. There was an offensive center, and the Hurricanes went over to look at him, and they saw a kid who was 6'2", 225 pounds, running a 4.49. They go, wait a minute. So, yeah, this is where you see, and I try to reiterate the parents, you know, who are really, hey, my kid played against that kid, and my kid did well, but you had that kid's getting Arkansas and all that. I said, here's the thing. Well, most of these kids in these classes, especially a senior class, last were seen was in November, December. And that 5'7", 5'8", 155 pounder is 5'9", 190 now. So it changed his whole recruitability. And you could watch all you want in T-shirt and shorts, but nothing disguises what you do on fourth and two and as a quarterback or a receiver and come up with a big catch. That's they want to see what they could do. You know, anybody could get out there in a pair of shorts and T-shirt. I think Manning's kid is a lot like that. He seems to perform in those little seven-on-seven things, and he ain't playing. Blake Ewers is probably the top quarterback next year coming out. So,
oh yeah, yeah, Quinn.
That's it.
before we go, yeah, big shout out to Kane's great basketball player,
DeJuan Hernandez. Hoops legend DeJuan Hernandez.
I wish DeJuan. I wish they'd have
a chance. Well, hold on that. First of all, DeJuan, feel free to come on Buckets anytime. Hit me up if you want to come on our Hoops show.
Yeah, we've had him on the show. Before, right?
We had him before Buckets, though.
Yeah,
predated Buckets. Yeah, we talked to him.
You're angling towards that, but I don't think you're going to find it.
Well, you kind of can do that now because you can do multi-year NIL deals. So that has been done.
Yeah, the NCAA it won't have anything to do with NCAA.
No, it's not going to be signed a contract with the school, but you can sign multi-year NIL deals. Right now, the kids don't need to go for it because they have leverage.
Right.
Why would I lock into a contingency when I can renegotiate at the end of every year? But
Panther scored, baby. Let's go.
But you can do all again.
You must really be on delay. This was like an hour ago.
It's not the NCAA that'll do it. It's
right.
These are business contracts. You can sign multi-years with binding work for competitor, all that stuff, and lock people in. And they've done that.
Yeah. Ralph Lopez here. I'm assuming it's Ralph Lopez. Miami's is going hard in the portal out of need. Mario has two full recruiting cycles as depth matures. The portal will still be important, but not as desperate. I disagree. I think the portal
it's going to be viable.
Yeah, it's going to be even crazier. It's just going to keep getting crazy. I don't think it's going to change. I don't think it's got anything to do with depth or Mario. I think all the schools that are going to want to compete on a yearly basis are going to have to go hard in the transfer portal no matter what.
It's also it's not just money that's driving this. I think money gets the headlines.
Sure.
There's opportunity to play as well, which is a bigger driver than money. The money's at the top end.
Sure.
You know, there's a handful of kids that can name their price. Everyone else is primarily doing it because what's my better chance to get to the NFL, which is where the money is, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, transferring has been a thing since the beginning of time. It's just that now it's easy to do, but it's not. I think we make a mistake when we think the reason that there's 1,000 whatever kids in the portal is because of money. It's because they're not getting playing time where they were recruited. They often were lied to by their coaches. Some of their coaches have left. And so this is an opportunity to go somewhere else and get a chance to play. So that dynamic is never changing. If you can easily switch schools and get an opportunity to play where you don't think you can play right now, a lot of kids are going to take that option. And as Blue has pointed out many times, a lot of kids erroneously think they're going to play somewhere else where they're not going to, and they take that option and then realize that old situation, same as the new one. So, you know, they're adults. They can make that mistake. I feel like something just happened good for the Bruins based on
Bruins scored.
Yeah.
Did they?
I saw the fist pump.
You're very on a delay, I guess.
Yeah, I'm super delayed, man.
I saw the DJ fist pump. I'm like, that's not good for any of our viewers, but good for DJ.
It's okay. I'm a Boston guy through and through. I appreciate you guys having me on, even still.
Oh, my God. I see it there. Well, there it is. I just saw it now.
I won't ruin any big plays if anything happens for you, Jazz. I'll try to keep still and quiet.
I mean, the show's basically over, but anyway.
And before we go, we've got Chantel with Blue.
Okay, guys, I'm going to take you back to the 1984 campaign with this nice cup here. Ooh. It's got that Orange Bowl logo right here.
Yep.
You got the schedule. And then you got Big Howard coming up.
There he is.
Look at that.
There we go.
Mr. Schnellenberger himself.
Good show and tell little item there.
1984.
Technology, Vish. Technology.
Okay, we're doing this then.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There you go.
I like that. All you have to say was technology, Vish.
Yeah.
I know.
The Orioles will January 2nd, 1984.
Pretty good one.
Let me see the
game. Pretty good collectible.
I mean, it's the schedule. This is the year we won the championship.
It's the year we won, right?
This must have been after we, in between the 83 and 84 seasons.
Yeah, there was a flashback 83 thing.
Yeah, okay.
Miami, Nebraska. There it is. There it is.
Very nice. Okay, good show and tell item this.
Yeah,
definitely.
$2,000 for that cup, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
That one, you can't sell that one. That one you got to keep.
You can probably say that about everything that he's going to show.
No, but I mean, that's different. That's got Howard on there.
That's why my wife is still bitching. Get rid of something.
I mean, we can bring her on the show and explain why you need every item.
Show and tell with the Bluesteins. That's perfect.
Yeah.
We got to come up with a little jingle. We have to.
I get enough of that. You don't really want that, do you?
Oh man, you collect Kane's memorabilia like I collect Flanagan's cups. Okay.
I have so much signed stuff in this room right here. It's not even funny.
Oh man.
You do have a good Flanagan glass.
Oh mug. Wow. A glass mug?
Yeah, I do. I'll pop that out next week, whatever it is.
By the way, we're still going to do the t-shirts for anybody that's watching the show or is going to listen to it later. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll have something. We got to get on it, Vish, DJ. We got to do something, man. I keep forgetting, and then when he says, give me the technology, I'm like, are you kidding me right now? What are we doing?
I'll definitely remind you.
Yeah, man, we gotta come on.
I'm gonna make a note in my phone right now. Hold on, I don't know
if you can tell, but we don't show prep. Come on, man.
Here, this is for you, Jazz. This one here.
Uh oh.
A Coors baseball bat.
Give me the technology. There it is.
Very cool.
That is
cool. Yeah, that's so cool.
It's like a little baseball bat.
But it's a beer can though. It's a beer bottle, right?
Beer bottle.
Yeah,
it's Coors. Coors Light.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Look at that. You don't get that kind of stuff at any other show. Shout out to all the other Canes contributors and Canes media people that do shows.
Next week, I'll come on and say, hey guys, my house was robbed.
We won't tell anybody where you live, although probably half those guys know anyways, right? Oh, man. Anyways, thanks for watching the show. Subscribe to the 5 Reasons Canes podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcast. Also follow us on Twitter. It's @6RingCanes. At 5 Reasons Canes as well.
Five Reasons Canes.
The YouTube is 5 Reasons Canes Network.
We have way too much.
Follow stuff anything with the word 5 Reasons in it, and at least like the network.
It'll lead you to us.
Yeah.
If you find the 5 Reasons stuff, you'll most likely find us. How about that?
Here are the Twitter handles for Vish and for Blue are on
not
there.
Not me. I don't know.
Yeah, not mine either, but mine is basically my name also. So, and yours is D Gillette with whatever, some numbers. I don't
95,
know.
95, my birthday.
Yeah, there you go. 95, there you go.
Oh, I'm a young one on the show.
That's what I'm talking about, man. And he's way older than the
And he knows juice. See? He knows the juice.
Yeah.
95. That's not far off from the 2000s babies now. It's 5 years, man. You know,
dude. I'm not gonna.
Cam McCormick knows. Cam McCormick knows, dude. Yeah.
Cam probably played in this game.
Yeah, he probably did. Oh man. Anyways, make sure you keep it locked here. Tomorrow we got hitting the Apex, and we've got some Canes on deck. Hopefully, we'll see. Yeah. Who the hell knows? Buckets on Wednesday. And we'll keep you guys updated on the latest on Canes football as well. We'll see you guys next Monday. Show and tell with Blue. Let's do it.
The 6 Ring Canes Show. Yeah. The 6 Ring Canes Show. Yeah. The 6 Rings Canes Show. You know.
Yeah.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/diagram now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more features like advanced shapes, dependency mapping, and two-way Jira syncing. Get started today at Miro.com/diagram now.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.